James 1:21. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You can bear fruit. You can bear fruit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask him to help us. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts now as we consider the truth that you can help us bear fruit in our life. I pray that you would help me as I preach. Forgive me for sin. Lord, forgive me for pride. Lord, I pray that this message would be true in my life, Lord, and not only something that I try to give others to do. Lord, we need you, and pray that you would help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can bear fruit. There may be some things that we look at our lives and we think, well, I really admire that someone else can do that, but I can't do that. Okay? But when it comes to bearing fruit in our life and having the fruit of the Spirit born out in our life, that's something that we can do. You were created to connect with God. Why are we here? That's one of the biggest questions that humanity has always been asking themselves. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Okay? Well, the purpose of your life is to connect with God and to live for his glory. Our life without God is meaningless. Okay? To be good at your job, to have a bank full of money, to have all kinds of success, even to have a fantastic family life, even to have different things, material things you want, or professional success, or to be able to travel the world, to be able to understand so much knowledge, whatever it may be, all of this is so finite. It's something that only helps us within this life, and it doesn't reach the deepest part of us. We were created to connect with God. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, immediately they connected with God. They worshiped God. They talked with God. And so when we're talking about bearing fruit, that is something that really, through Christ, it brings us back to that original purpose and that original intent. Okay? Both Adam and Eve, they both were communicating with God. They were talking with God. And that was something that really met the deepest need in their life. Once you are saved, you have been empowered by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to bear fruit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So first of all, we have to know that we're saved. We have to know that if we died today, that we were going to heaven. It's not because of a particular religious set of rules that we follow. Okay, it's not because I have been baptized, or I'm a member of this church or that church, or I'm a pretty good person, or I give a portion of my money to charities, or anything like this. It has nothing to do with that. Okay, the Bible says in his word in Ephesians chapter number 2, these are famous verses, but they're famous for a reason. They're easy to understand, and they're incredibly powerful. Okay, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's either one or the other, guys. It's either grace, which means undeserved. God is not going to look at your religious resume and say, "This person deserves to go to heaven." So I think it. Look, I was watching one of those TED Talks. You guys ever watch those TED Talks on YouTube? I like them. It's fun. I think it's enjoyable to watch those sometimes. And there's this guy that was talking about going to Harvard. And it's so funny. I mean, this guy, obviously extremely intelligent individual. And he says, I was filling out the general application for all these colleges, and it was the same application to apply to Harvard University. So I went ahead and sent one off. And he's putting on there all his GPA. He's putting all of his, all of the clubs he's been in, all of the stuff he's done in high school. And he's explaining all the stuff. He's like, I didn't think that I was going to get in. I honestly didn't think I was going to get in. And then I got the acceptance letter. And they're like, you've been accepted into Harvard. It's funny because like the whole video is talking about Harvard is hard. It's like, well, duh. Obviously, it's an extremely difficult place to go to school. But he didn't necessarily expect to get in, but he just went ahead and gave it a shot. Okay? And he kind of put down, this is what I've done, and this is the thing, and he gave the documentation to prove all that stuff. Listen, guys, that is not how we go to heaven. You understand? Okay? So many people have that mindset. Okay? I'm trying. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. Okay? That's good. That's fine when it comes to you and I. Because we know each other is not perfect. Amen. Okay? And those people that act like it, they're not fun to be around, are they? Amen. Okay? But the Lord is not up there reviewing applications. That is not how it works. Not by works of righteousness, the Bible says in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. Now, God, I've got this incredible resume. I've been working on it. And maybe you're a religious person. You're a good person. You can say, I'm from this church or that kind of background and this and that or another. And I try to work hard and I'm an honest person. I've got integrity and I'm better than them. And I've seen some church people. And I've seen them mess up. And I've heard people say this to me. And I'm better than them. And you know what? You probably are. I get it. But here's the thing. God is not looking to see how good of a person you try to be. He's not looking at your, he's not going to give you an E for effort. He's not going to be like, oh, look at their little heart. They're trying so hard. They're so sincere. I'm just going to let them on in. Look, either the death of Christ was meant to absolutely pay for our sin. I mean, pay for it. Or it's not. It's one or the other. It's either mercy. It's either grace, undeserved favor. How do I get this grace? By faith. Okay? We have to come to him in faith. Oh, I just don't have enough faith to trust that. You need to learn a little bit more about Jesus, and that's not the purpose of this sermon, but you need to say, you know what? I'm going to learn more about that because that is the promise from Jesus himself. I've paid for it. Just trust what I have done on the cross. He took our place, guys. He took our place. We were stepping up for judgment. And he's like, nope, I'm going to do this for you. Now, why would you sit there and say, Jesus, I really appreciate what you did for me on the cross. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and try to give it a try on my own. Now, remember, Jesus, it's his heaven. So he knows what it takes to get in there. And it takes grace. It takes mercy. It takes trust. Okay? It doesn't take works. Praise God, it doesn't take works. So if you've done that, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a new creature in Christ. And therefore, the Bible says, you can bear fruit. You can bear fruit. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You can bear fruit. Let's go over to John 15. John 15. And we're going to look at our verse. And we're just going to focus on one verse in John 15 today. Verse 7. John 15 and verse number 7. We're going to read the verse, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of an excerpt, or I'm going to read about two or three paragraphs from the book that we are using in our men's Bible study. We're going to apply abiding in Christ, or bearing fruit, to being a father and being a husband. And that way we can kind of understand a little bit within that context what we're talking about. And I pray the Holy Spirit will apply it to your particular life where you're at, okay? So John chapter 15 and verse number 7 says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Okay, this is the recipe for bearing fruit. It's a little bit more involved, a little bit more complex than just reading your Bible and pray. But that's basically what it's talking about. Okay, abiding in Christ, bearing fruit. What do I have to do? I have to read my Bible and I have to pray. All right, and we'll get into the details here in just a moment. But I want to read you a little bit of this from this book, talking about a husband, a father, and how it applies to bearing fruit within that context. It says, "The key to any man's success as a husband, a father, and anything else is his own personal walk with God, not just on Sundays, but every day. Jesus explained that remaining in close fellowship with God is the secret to true fruitfulness and effectiveness in life. Trusting him makes you wise. Relying on him keeps you strong. Following him shows you how to lead. But he said, if you don't walk with him, you won't really accomplish anything. Life and relationships," listen to this carefully, "life and relationships are simply too complex and difficult for you to make it on your own reasoning or strength." So your leadership of your family starts with your own one-on-one time with God. It is important for a man to set apart time each day for prayer, reading the scriptures, and tuning his heart with God's heart. This may be a new concept to you, but this is a crucial step and is fundamental to strong spiritual leadership. You may need to rearrange your activities or reduce your entertainment options to do this, but this is foundational and is always worth it. What I need to be for my family flows from my time with God. What you need to be for your family flows from your time with God. I see my choices, my actions and reactions to my family, the way I talk to them, the way I act around them, and they respond to that. Okay? Now, if I'm walking with God and I'm allowing God, as it's saying, I'm feeding my faith through his word, and I'm tuning my heart. Now, we have some musicians in the room. I almost asked some of you reed ladies to come with your guitars and mandolins and ukulele, right? Is that what it is, Mika? Yeah. And to show us, but I didn't want to embarrass anybody. Too late for that because I already called you out in front of everybody. But to tune, right? To tune the instrument. And like with a digital piano or something like that, we don't have to do it in the same way. But with a lot, with every instrument, you have to tune it. Because just, listen, it just sitting in the corner, it doesn't stay tuned, does it? No, if you leave it sitting there for any length of time, before you start playing a song, you've got to sit there and you've got to tune it. And some people can do it by ear, which is awesome. But a lot of times people use digital tuners, or you can use another instrument that's already in tune. Let me tell you something. This is the instrument that's already in tune. So every morning, for the sake of my family, for the sake of the people that I have influence over, and you think, well, that's important for you because you're a pastor. Look, it's just as important for you. Amen. It's just as important for us. Like we talked about last week, I eat my fruit, right? I eat the fruit of my... If I come to the Lord and I'm allowing him to tune my heart and I've got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, man, that makes my life enjoyable for me, okay? And also for your family and for your church as well. All right, so that's just a quick illustration. We're just going to go through. I've got four quick points. We've got 15 minutes left. Four quick points. I'm going to see if I can do it. Do you guys think I can do it? Miss Yodit is a believer. Man, I love that. She believes. I love it. Okay, John 15. So you can put these down if you would like to. Number one, seek Jesus by faith. Seek Jesus by faith. I can bear fruit. You can bear fruit. How do I bear fruit? Have you ever looked at something in life and said, I can't do this? Okay, God says you can. You can bear fruit. You can do it, and you can do it the right way. I can be the right kind of father. I can be the right kind of husband. I can. I can be the right kind of pastor. I can be the right kind of teacher. I can be the right kind of son to my parents. I can. And you can too. You can in your own relationships, in your own family, in your own context. You can be the right kind of student. You can be the right man. I like that kind of talk. It just gets me fired up. Because so many other things in life tell me that I can't. I've tried and I've failed. Hey, you can live the victorious Christian life. That sin does not have to keep you down where you say, I try and then I've fallen again. You can live a victorious Christian life. How? Number one, you've got to seek Jesus. You've got to look for him. You say, brother, I'm already saved. That's beside the point. That's the foundation. You have got to seek him. Look for him. You've got to go looking for him. Go looking for him. When we approach our Bibles, this lesson could also, you know, be called how to have daily devotions, right? Have you guys ever thought, you know, whatever it is you're looking for, that's what you see everywhere. If you're interested in buying a particular car, you start seeing them everywhere. You start paying attention to them, right? If you think, man, I think I'd like to buy a house. Well, all of a sudden, when you're driving through town, you start seeing all these for sale signs that you just never saw before. You never paid attention. And we've got to understand that if we're going to connect with God, we've got to start looking for him. We've got to open up our heart and we've got to start seeking Jesus by faith. Reach out to him with the deepest part of your heart, with the inside part of you. I'm not looking for him with my eyes and saying, oh, there's a strange cloud formation over yonder. I think that might be Jesus talking to me. It's not. It's not, okay? This is how he talks to us. Don't look for spooky stuff, okay? But we're looking for him to speak to our heart. The Bible says in Acts 17, 27 and 28, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. People say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Let me ask you something. Have you ever tried to look for him?
Well, I can't see him.
What? Look, he's a spirit. And the Russians say this. You know, they boasted when they made it to outer space. They were the first ones to make it to outer space. And they boasted, the atheists, oh, we didn't see God. He's not visible. He's a spirit. Okay? And it says, Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You hear the promise there? Okay, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When I come and I'm trying to follow what the Lord says, when I come to his word, when I come to God, I've got to seek him. Meaning, I've got to open up my heart to him and be willing to operate in faith. I'm not... Rational thinking is awesome, and it's for a purpose. Faith is a different way of thinking, and it's for a different kind of purpose. Okay? So number one, Seek Jesus by faith. Number two, show him you believe his word by obeying it. If I want to bear fruit in my life, God is not looking for my track record to get me into heaven, but he is looking for my track record of obedience if I intend to fellowship with him and if I intend to have my prayers answered. He's going to see, are you operating in faith? Are you believing what I've told you so far? Show him you believe his word by obeying it. That's what it's saying when it says in John 15 and verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, if my words abide in you, what does it mean for your words to abide in you? It means in part that I'm hearing you, Jesus. I'm hearing you and not just listening, but doing. Okay? Don't be food collector. Be a food eater. I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. And you go to the house and boy, the whole pantry is just full of food. You open up the fridge and the fridge is full of food. And you open up the freezer full of frozen food. And you go down in the basement and there's one of those big deep freezers full of frozen food. Oh, I've been so hungry for 3 days. I just can't. Oh, I need some food. Go to the pantry and open something up and start eating. And so often, guys, we go to Jesus and I just want to understand the truth. I'm not going to obey it if I can't understand it. Listen. Listen, friend. You've got to do it. You've got to be willing to step out and do it. That's how you understand it. On YouTube, you've got these people that are trying to teach martial arts. Good for you. Okay? But I promise you, learning a couple of moves on YouTube is not like actually doing it in a dojo with a teacher. It's not the same thing. It's all in your head. And it certainly isn't the same thing as sparring with an opponent. And it certainly isn't the same thing as if you actually got in a fight with somebody. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm a YouTube black belt. Oh, really? What does that even mean? It means that you watched a couple of videos and you've memorized some moves, but you don't actually know what you're doing. Hey, you've never tested it. You've never tested it. There are so many Christians that they think, I just need to know more. When in the reality is what? You probably know a lot. You just need to do it. You need to do it. The Bible says, John 8, 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He's speaking to believers. He's talking to those who have trusted him for salvation. If ye continue in my word, there's that abide. Same thing. If my words abide in you, he's saying, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And here's the famous verse. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth, knowing the knowledge alone doesn't make you free. So many people cut that verse in half. Okay, and by the way, that's there literally is one sentence. And they're chopping off the second half because it sounds nice. And they forget the first part that says, you've got to continue in my word. What does it mean? It means you've got to do it. If you want to be free, if you want to have fruit, what do you need to do? You need to actually do it. You need to do it. James 2, 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse number 19 is powerful. It says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I believe in God. So does Satan. You telling me that I'm Satan? Of course not. No. But what I'm trying to say is that having knowledge of something is not having faith in something. Do you know about Jesus? Yes, I know about Jesus. Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Well, I know about him. Isn't that the same thing? It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Because then Satan would be saved. And the demons would be saved. Knowing about God and hearing about God and listening to Bible lessons and reading your Bible and even doing Christian things does not make you a forgiven individual. It doesn't make you saved. You have got to actually take the knowledge and then put your faith and trust in it. That's what it means to have faith. You've got to actually depend on it so much that if God's lying, I'm going to hell. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be saved. And that's what it means when God's trying to teach us something. This is a picture. This is what it looks like to graft. Again, we've got the cut and the split, and they're poking that down in there. That's what God wants to do with his word in your life. It's not something that you just read. It's not just a practice of reading it that somehow has this magic effect on you. It is a tool in your hand, right? If you've got something that's broken in your house, you go to your toolbox or tool bag. And you say, well, I've got the tools and that thing's broken. And so, yeah, it's pretty much fixed now because I've got the tool in the house. No, of course not, right? You've got to take the tool and you've actually got to apply it to the situation. And this is a really good illustration of your particular problem, okay? Whatever your problem is, whatever it is, whatever the thing is, you take a verse of scripture and you stick it in the problem and say, I'm going to apply this verse to this particular problem. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to work it. Amen. That's good. Depend on his words to fuel your faith. Depend on his words to fuel your faith. Number three. Number one, I said, seek Jesus by faith. Number two, show him you believe his word by obeying it. Number three, depend on his words to fuel your faith. It is not self-determination. It is not pure discipline. It is dependence on his guidance, on his words to fuel your life of faith. The Bible says in Matthew 4 and verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What is he saying? He's saying that in order to abide in Christ, in order to see fruit, in order to live the life of faith, I've got to fuel that faith. How do I fuel the faith? Not with determination. I fuel that faith with the word of God. The word of God is, look, every one of us is like a balloon that's got a slow leak. It's got a slow leak in it. And we've got to continually keep it hooked up to the air pump in order to keep it inflated. That's what our faith is. And the word of God keeps our faith inflated. Last one is this. Ask in prayer, expecting an answer. Ask in prayer, expecting an answer. These are powerful words where it says in Matthew 15:7. Listen, there comes a time in every Christian's life when you look at a verse like John 15:7, where it says, ask what you will and it shall be done. And you've either got to decide in your heart, either Jesus is lying or he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, then why doesn't that verse work for me? It doesn't work for me because maybe the words aren't abiding. Maybe I'm not seeking for the Lord. Come on now. Maybe I'm simply not expecting him to answer me. Are we really praying if we don't expect him to answer us? Not really. Not really. Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. That's clear, guys. Ask and it shall be given you. Well, I've asked and I haven't gotten it. Okay, two things. Maybe God's trying to teach you to modify your request. Well, how do I know? You've got to seek him and you've got to be willing to listen to him when he speaks to you through his word and say, I want you to modify that request a bit. One, he's trying to teach you to modify your request, or two, he wants you to keep asking. Everybody bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Thank you guys for listening so well.